If you get your Bibles open to James chapter 2, James chapter 2. There is a handout if you didn't get one. There should be some on the back table there. Raise your hand and Don will bring you one. Don, there's a couple people here. Okay, there you go. Anybody else get a handout? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the day. Keep us safe today. Give us something out of your word that will help us to serve you better and bring us closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. James 2, verse 14, we're going to start with. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, but what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. The title for this morning is Just Do It. We spent a lot of time, I don't know how many weeks, maybe 6-7 weeks, I guess it was, on what to do when you don't know what to do. When you just really have no idea, how can I get over this? What do I do now? In every case or scenario we looked at, the answer pretty much was the same. The first opening part of the lessons were varied a little bit, but the end always comes back that by faith, Lord Jesus Christ can do this. The Holy Spirit will do this in you and for you. There's a whole bunch of verses there that I have here. Some of them I put on the paper so you don't have to go look them all up. But Hebrews 11:6 starts out, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, last week our lesson ended up with a major point being that a sinner's greatest need, as well as our greatest need, a sinner's greatest need is to get a personal relationship to be saved, have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a sinner's greatest need. Doesn't matter what sin a sinner's involved in, that's their need. Doesn't matter if it's drugs or stealing, what it is, their greatest need is to be saved. Our greatest need is to get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ today than we were yesterday, to repair those things that were right yesterday and somehow they got broken. Repair those things. Get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Become more like him today than you were yesterday. That is our greatest need. And many of you have gone through a series. I've taught it 2 times, I think, Changed in His Image. And that does present a really strong need and motivation for becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't truly go through that series honestly and be honest with yourself and not be changed. Changed into His image is it's serious business. I want to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't, then probably you shouldn't bother being here. We have some fairly nice people to visit with here, but our whole purpose is to make Christians closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and bring unsaved people in so they can be saved and become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole reason we're here. Not for any other reason, not for any other purpose. That's why we're here. Pastor also has, we have it at the men's meeting and several other times during the year, he has CPR meetings. Confession, we have confession time. We have praise time, and we have request time. It's just a time where, in a little bit of a structured environment, we try to meet God in a short length of time. In James chapter 2, we read that faith without works is dead, and in Hebrews 11:6, it says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, everybody in here probably has a good handle knowing yes, I should be doing this, and yet, and you could write down the things you know of that you're supposed to be doing. Some of those things we're doing, and some of those things we're not doing. Some of those things we think are really important, and other things we think, well, I'll get to those one day, and you can fill in the blank there, as you mature more, as you get older, as we do this or as we do that, I'm going to get to that. And we can come up with all kinds of reasons why we haven't done them now. But at the bottom line comes down to is that in order for us to become closer to him, we have to find, what is it? Those that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of who? Those that diligently seek him. It doesn't say he doesn't reward everybody else, but he definitely does say, I am a rewarder. I will give rewards. I will give gifts. I will give something to someone that diligently seeks me. I'm not going to ignore them. I'm going to meet them. And we've heard these things, and in a large part, we believe they're true. I think on your paper, 2 Corinthians 8:11, now therefore perform the doing of it. Perform the doing of it. Just because we know something doesn't make it so in our life. We may know how to repair a BMW, but if you don't have a BMW, what value is that? You may know every little detail of it. And what is in your garage is a Ford Pinto. Pinto was a Ford from about 40 years ago, right? Who owned a Ford Pinto? Only two people were stuck with those. But they did get you where you wanted to go most of the time. Some of the time. But just because you know how to do something doesn't make it of any value. That's what James is talking about. Just because you believe that there is a God doesn't change your life at all. It says the devils also believe, and they tremble. You ever get that feeling? And I get this feeling more often than I'd like. There's something wrong. I'm just nervous. Like the airhead I am as well. Forget it. The Holy Spirit's saying, there's something wrong. You better get it right. Because is that something a Christian ought to have, is nervousness about anything? So if you're nervous about something, something's wrong. That's our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a break there. There's something that the Holy Spirit is tapping you on the shoulder saying, hey, Rick, listen, here, look, wait, stop doing what you do. This is what we need to work on right now. And I'll say, yeah, we'll get to that. Right now, I'm busy doing this and this, and I've got to, I got to go do this, and I'll get to that later on. Pastor also taught a series, I think just one time since I've been here, how to spend an hour a day with God. Remember that? He spent probably, I bet, 6 or 8 lessons in different services we had. I'm convinced that a Christian's power, a Christian's lack of power in their daily life, the lack of power in my life directly is related to how I meet him. Because he's a rewarder of those that meet him. He says, I will not leave you. He's going to be where he said he's going to be. If I don't show up, it's me that didn't show up. He's there. I've settled in my heart. This is a rather old illustration for me, but if I've settled in my heart that I am going to meet with the Lord every morning, every day, for the rest of my life, and morning comes and goes, and I haven't met with the Lord, is the Lord there waiting? Yeah, he's right there waiting, expecting. I said I was going to come. I said I wanted to do this. I asked him, I want to have your blessing on the day, every day. That means today, I want to have your blessing on everything that I do today. And then I don't show up. And the Lord's there. He says, I've got the answer for you. but you didn't show up. Often, when if you're meeting with someone that has really kind of spiritual problem, more often than not, the thing that they're having an issue with, Pastor preached about last week. Happens all the time. Or maybe it was last month. Maybe it was a series that they missed out on something. The Lord knew they were coming up with this, prepared everything for them to get the answer that they needed, and didn't show up. Just do the things that you know that the Holy Spirit wants you to do. You know, our life directly reflects the things that, you know, our level of faith, our level of righteousness, our level of cleanness, and everything else. Our life reflects our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are an image in the image of Christ. When someone looks at us, what are they seeing? They're seeing the reflection of who we are. If we are close to the Lord Jesus Christ, tell them, I want to be like you. I want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ today. I want to reflect. I want to be your image. What's an image? You know, we got a screen up here. There's no image on there right now, but we could put one up there. And is that the real thing? But you get an idea what it is. If I was to put an image of the Eiffel Tower, who's seen the Eiffel Tower? If I was to put that up there, would you know what it is? Pretty much everyone would. I may not be able to, you know, with memories like ours, I know what that is. Let me think. I'll tell you in a few minutes as soon as I remember what that is. But you know what it is. Just like that, when someone looks at you and they see the fruits of the Spirit, they see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance. They see all those things in your life, and they know, I don't have all those things. What are they seeing? They're seeing the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Spirit puts that there. When they see us not having all those things, what do they see? They don't see the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the fruit of the Spirit, though. That's the fruit of allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. None of us are going to get to where we're perfect, that there's going to be no flaws in our life. There's going to be no little, you know, cracks in our image. If you look at that screen, in even the big screen out there, if next time you look, be real careful and watch. You can see some lines across it. Is there a from the top, something like that? And unless you're looking for them, you don't notice them. But that's in the manufacturing. It's not a perfect screen, not a perfect image. But we know, you know, get as close as we can. We try and get the screen as flat as we can. Try and get the focus just right. Spend all kinds of time doing that. Do we spend all that much time making sure that when a person looks at us, looks at our life, looks at the things we do, the things we say, the places we go, the books we read, the newspapers, and whatever else, do they see that's just a little bit different than I am? Or do they see, well, that's just like I am? Excuse me there. I'm going to spend probably 15 to 20 minutes, in a little bit longer than that maybe, just in going over in a little bit of a demonstration. This is how you could meet God tomorrow morning. Now, probably many of you have met with the Lord this morning sometime, spent some time with him. And that's great. That's what we're supposed to do. Maybe it's planned for later on this afternoon. I don't know when it is for you. For me, it has to be in the morning. I don't get everything done in the morning I need to get done. But I don't miss at least part of my devotion in the morning. Never do. Let me rephrase that. I almost never do. I've not arrived either, so we'll leave it at that. And I'm not going to be confessing to you because you don't have a collar on and all that. Not behind the screen. We were raised Catholic, and We'll leave it at that, too. The first thing, and that's on the bottom of your sheet, the first thing that I do in the morning, the first thing many of you do in the morning, there's some kind of devotional you read. Now, there's all kinds of little booklets you can get. I use the one by Paul Chappelle online. He sends an email. If you can get email, you can get this. It's very short. Only if it takes you 5 minutes to read that devotion, it's because you were doing something else in your mind. It's really not long at all. It shouldn't take you 5 minutes to read that. And it won't. If you don't get email, you can't get email, or you don't like that one, pastor's got book after book after book. Don, you've got devotionals. Come and see one of us. See Pastor. See Don. See somebody. Say, I need a devotional. I need something to get me started. I can't go and just open up the Bible and just start reading, because I will just rotely read through it and get to the bottom and say, oh, well, I did that. Check. No, I need something to get me stirred up a little bit first, and his devotion works. There's a link on there or a link on there if you want to sign up for that. That's, I think it's short, always to the point, very convicting. I like it. You don't have to like it, but I like it. But you do need to do something, get some input from someone. Say, okay, wake me up. What is it that's not bothering us at all? Stay here. Don't leave. Okay. The second thing. Now, this is not a real difficult thing, because we know right off what sin we're involved in. It's confession of sin. Don't attempt to go to the Lord and start asking for things, or start saying, you are the God of gods and the Lord of lords. Because to the Lord, if there's sin between that you know of, the only thing that the Holy Spirit is dealing with is that sin. He's not dealing with anything else. He's not dealing with sick Aunt Mary. He can't help you with that. He's not dealing with, Lord, we need another $100 this month to meet our budget. He's not dealing with that. He's dealing with, you remember that thing that you said? That was wrong, and you know it was wrong. That's the kind of sin that the Holy Spirit is dealing with you all the time. He's very specific. He doesn't beat around the bush saying, hey, remember last Thursday, or was it Wednesday? No, he's very specific. He points things out. Maybe he doesn't point it out to you. He points it out to me and says that you need to get that straight. He doesn't say, you know, there's this gray area over here that maybe you ought to think about. No, he says, you were wrong here, and you know you were wrong, and you need to get it right. As soon as I get done reading the devotion, if I haven't already been convicted about it, the Holy Spirit will remind me what it is he wants to deal with. And, you know, he doesn't dump everything, little thing on me that I've ever done wrong, or even that I've done wrong through the last day or two. He says, deal with this. How many can go back and fix everything you did wrong last week? You might be able to fix a thing or two if you remember them. Now, those things that you know that you did wrong, you know, you were cutting the lawn, you went too far, went over the next door neighbor's flower bed, and you didn't tell her about it, you know, you just went it and just forgot about it. And that was her prize flowers, you know, the ones that bloom that she takes to the fair. Sooner or later, she's going to find out and see what happened there. So you know your sin, it was going to find you out. You know it's going to happen. You know it. It's just, there's no question about it. Do you believe what the Word of God says? Your sin will find you out? I mean, it's what the Bible says, isn't it? Either it's true or not. Sin is not really a very difficult thing to figure out. Because when you come to God, you must believe that he is. If he is who he says he is, he's going to point out and say, I'm holy, be ye holy, for I'm holy, and here you're not holy. get that straightened out. Depending on how long it's been since you got things straightened out, that could take another 5 minutes, could take another 10 minutes. None of these times are set in stone. You may have to spend the whole time on devotional because you read really slow. So what? Is God restricted by your words? Is God restricted by every little memory that you could? I can't remember anything that happened yesterday. Is he restricted by that? Why are we here? Why did he create us? To have fellowship with us. To have fellowship with us, what do we have to be? Available is the first thing, yes. Available, we have to be perfect. The only way to be perfect is to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, which we are if you're born again. And he can have fellowship with you, and you have to show up. If you show up, he's going to be there. If there's a sin that's saying, wait a minute, I can't really have a good time with you because of this, take care of this, and then we're going to have good fellowship, then you can say, okay, I will take care of that, or no, I don't want to take care of that. Take your pick. Confess sin. Get rid of it. The next thing, praise the Lord. You cannot praise the Lord if you have not taken care of your sin. Just can't. Thinking about coming before the Lord without preparing your heart, without making sure that everything you know of is right, is like coming in. I cut the grass yesterday. Everybody could figure that out, right? I didn't run over the neighbor's flowers. At least not that I know of. I came in, I was really dirty. I had mud all over my hands, and I was a mess. I wasn't even sure how to get in to cleaned up. I was that much of a mess. And at the same time, we were getting ready to cook some food for today. Now, it would have been a great idea for me to come in, go right to the kitchen, and start cutting up the, right? Would that have been a good idea? Probably not. If I'm going to praise the Lord, I have to have cleaned myself up. I have to present myself and show up. Praising the Lord is really thanking the Lord for who he is. You must believe who he is. The next thing it's just as, if not more important than all the rest, is reading Scripture. You can't get and stay right with the Lord without reading Scripture. That's where the Holy Spirit speaks to you. That's how his will comes across to you. The Bible through in a year. Few people have. Let me tell you how difficult this is. Now, you know Alexander Scorby, he's on all the Christian radio stations and reads the Bible. He has about 60 hours is how long all of his recordings is for the Old and New Testament, 60 hours. Now, if you divide that down, it comes to 9.5 minutes a day. It's 9.5 minutes. We've been in this lesson for 22 minutes. Twice that length of time to get through the Word of God in a year. And I'm not saying you need to do this, but don't think, well, that's more. Can you afford 9 or 10 minutes? Or if you're really a slow reader, 15 minutes? And so what if you don't get it done in a year? Who cares? Maybe it'll take you 5 years to go through it. It doesn't really matter. What matters is the Lord is there waiting for you, ready to give you what you need to make you like his son. And it doesn't make any difference if you only do 3 verses or if you do 300 verses or if you read the whole New Testament today. He can speak to you through 3 verses or 1 verse or part of a verse. I think most of the Lord, I'm kind of dense sometimes. The Lord doesn't use wide, long passages. He uses something that I heard in a message a phrase from a passage. Ten minutes a day, not impossible. Very, very doable. And so far, we've only got 5, 10, 15, 25 minutes. Or 5 minutes a day. You could have 20 minutes. The last thing I have on there is prayer. Have a prayer list and keep an updated prayer list. You know, we've got one. It's not in this here. It's 2 pages long that we get on Wednesday nights. Miss Amy spends a great deal of time trying to keep that updated, but half the people she doesn't know. Have your prayer list ought to have people on there that you know of needs that they have that you know about, because those are the people the Lord impressed you to pray about. If you want to just pray at random, well, get a phone book if you can find one and just start open up. Well, go ahead, read those names off. They have really important needs, don't they? Like, what would you know? How would you know? How could you influence them? How could they influence you? How can you help them at all? How can you ask the Lord to help them at all? And that doesn't mean you shouldn't pray for missionaries or pray for somebody that a missionary prayer letter tells you about, because you do have a relationship with them. If you're a member of the church supports that missionary. If you should be supporting Faith Promise and being able to allow our missionaries to go. That's the kind of thing you should pray about. Pray that Christian's over there, and many of you helped him get there. Many of you helped establish that ministry over there. Spend some time. I don't know what Christian needs this morning, but he needs something. Probably right about now. It's nearing nighttime over there. He probably needs some sleep. I don't know what he needs. Keep him safe. Have a prayer list, one that means something to you. Who has a to-do list here? We talked about this a few weeks ago. A few people have to-do lists here. Can you live without them? No, I absolutely cannot live without a to-do list. And sometimes does your to-do list get, 15 pages long and trying to think of water. Let's see, I put water on that list. What does that mean? Was I supposed to water the lawn, or was I supposed to empty the water off of the stove, or was I supposed to go to the store and buy water, or is there water in the, what? That should not be on your prayer list. Why spend time thinking about something that you have no idea what it is? Apparently, the Holy Spirit didn't remind you that's important. Holy Spirit, we neglect the input of the Holy Spirit so often that it's shameful sometimes. He's the one that takes prayers back and forth. The Word of God says that we don't even know how to pray. He's going to take our prayer and interpret it to God the Father, because we don't know how to pray even. And we don't. We don't know. It says we do not pray as we ought, I think is how the words go. Have a prayer list. Keep up with it. And it's the Holy Spirit, what is it on here that I should be praying about today? Have a prayer. How many missionaries do we have? Take a guess. 51. Very good. 51, maybe 52. I'm not sure. Somewhere in there. Yeah. Can you name all their names? Okay. If you wanted to, could you take that list and pray honestly, reasonably about each one of them? Probably not. 50 people is a lot of people. Even if the people, there's 30 people in this room maybe, it would be difficult to go around and be able to pray real specifically, saying, this person needs this, I'd like the Lord to do this. You could do it. But exactly, what Miss Kathy back there needs, I don't know what she needs. Exactly. I would be able to, in the praise time, thank the Lord for Kathy. Thank the Lord for her faithfulness and her playing her music. Thank you for giving her that ability and the desire to be a servant. I'm thankful for that. Thank you, Kat. That was free. No money with it. You know. She's seconding that. Anybody want to give her money? Nobody raised their hand, Kat. That's right. Have a prayer list. Is Pastor's name on there? Is Brother Jim's name on there? What is on there? The things that ought to be on there are the things that come to mind, because that's the things the Holy Spirit say. This is what you need to be involved with. This is who you need to be concerned about. That's what a prayer list is. Prayer list can go on and on and on. All this, if you spend 5 minutes a day on each one, is about 20, 25 minutes. That's really not a lot of time compared with what you're going to get in return. You can either do this or you can be worried through the whole day about something. If the Lord was there and was going to meet you and you didn't show up, are you going to be guilty of feeling guilty about that? Are you going to be as effective on everything else in the whole day as you could be had you showed up? Does this mean that you have to be there 25 minutes? You know, set the climber. You know, if you have a good timer, you can set it down right to the second. Say, okay, time's up. I can go now. Some days, I'll tell you the truth, some days I just barely get through the devotional, and that's all I spiritually can handle. Either something's wrong, I don't feel good, I'm too busy, whatever. Some days that happens. Does that mean tomorrow that I can only do 5 minutes? No. Just do what God wants you to do. I don't know if it's 5 minutes that God wants you to do. I don't know if it's an hour. The pastor spoke how to spend an hour, and he broke it down even more detail than that, of what you ought to pray for, how you ought to have your prayer list lined out, how much scripture you should read. All that is Holy Spirit taps on your shoulder. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't tap on your shoulder, come to somebody and say, I don't have any idea what he's talking about. He never speaks to me. That's pretty sad. The Holy Spirit never speaks to you. If he doesn't, it's one of two things. Either you've never been born again, or you've told him no so many times that it's almost automatic with you. He comes in, you don't even notice it anymore. You don't want to hear it. And because we don't want to hear it, does that mean the Holy Spirit stops talking? Stops working? No, he speaks louder and in different ways. When we chose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we told him, I'll do whatever you need to do. And maybe it wasn't at the moment of salvation, but most everyone in here has probably told the Lord, Lord, do whatever you need to do to get me to a point where I am in the image of his son. Is that a fair statement? Most everyone in here has said that to themselves, between themselves and the Lord. And the Lord is doing that. You asked him to do it. Sometimes we beg him to do it. Sometimes we make that public, and sometimes we don't. But in any case, if we've asked the Lord, he is going to do that. He's not going to ignore you because you want to ignore him. But you told him, I want to be like your son. And he said, okay, here's where you are. This is the step you need to take. And we may say, okay, I'll get up and I'll do that. And or you may say, maybe not. And he's going to say, well, now I have to do whatever it is to make you want to do that. Sometimes he makes people sick. Sometimes he takes people out. Sometimes he makes them broke. All kinds of things. Lord doesn't have any shortage of tools. Sometimes he just taps on your shoulder every day. Most often, with me, that's what he does. He just, take care of this. Remember yesterday, take care of this. take care of this. Just do it. Don't think about doing it. Don't prepare to do it. Don't think, I'm going to get to that. Just do it. Find out what there is to do and do it. If you don't know what there is, that's why I gave you that little layout there. If you have no idea what else to do, well, do that. If that's wrong, do you suppose the Lord, this is all wrong for you and you do this, is it going to be put a barrier between you and God because you did that? The Word of God always works. It always works. It doesn't work only when you want it to. It doesn't work only when you think it's appropriate. It doesn't work only when you have read it. It always works. If you come to Him tomorrow morning, if you didn't do it this morning, forget about it. If you do it tomorrow morning, where is He going to be? He's going to be right there. If you do it the next day, where is He going to be? Right there. Now, if we've had all those problems we've been speaking about for weeks and weeks, if you have any one of those problems, where is He going to be tomorrow morning? Right there. Now, is He going to just say, oh, well, I can't deal with you, because where's He going to be? He's going to be right there. Times in my life when I have been at my lowest, I've realized, now at least, I wish I had someone come across and say, you know, you have one need and one need only, and that is to get close to the Lord. That's your only need, because He can take care of that. I can't take care of that. I can't tell you how to fix anything. I can't get you out of a hole or a rut. I can't get you, Pastor can't get you, get your marriage fixed back together. Pastor can't do any of those things either, but the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, can. With God, how many things are possible? All things are possible. He's going to make you what He wants you to be, one way or another. The easiest way for us, just show up in the morning. Say, here I am. Don't know what you have for today, but here I am. Fix what's broke. Break what needs to be broke. Bring new things into my life. Take things out of my life. Doesn't matter to me. Let's go. Show up. Just do it. We're going to close. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank you for making it clear to us that we don't have the ability to do things that only You do. Thank You that You do have it, and that You're a loving God, You're our God, and you want us to be successful. You want us to be close to You, so that when people look at us, that they see the image of Your Son. Father, I pray that You give us a desire to get closer to You this week, today. Be with us in the services today. In Jesus' name, amen. We are dismissed. We're a couple minutes early, so